This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield. And now for a few of your letters and comments. Following our interview with Muslim graduate student Nassim Ithuwani, we got a big response, including the following. Mark from Albany, New York wrote, "How loyal is Mr. Garfield to Likud, AIPAC, the American Enterprise Institute, Heritage, and the neoconservative movement? Who purchased Mr. Garfield's new luxury car? Questions that Mr. Garfield and WNYC need to answer." Okay, here's an answer. Are you insane? About our recent interview with Zev Chaffetz on Rush Limbaugh, Julie Baxter from Austin, Texas writes, "NPR has been in the tank for Bush and his never-ending war from the get-go." Snoop Diggity Dang Dog from Virginia responds to Julie Baxter with the following. "NPR in the tank for Bush? I listen to NPR daily, and it consists almost entirely of why America sucks and we should all be ashamed of ourselves stories." Interestingly, both reductionist commenters are right. Every minute of every NPR show, including OTM, is dedicated to supporting the political establishment, especially the Bush administration, and, as Mr. Diggity Dang Dog has brilliantly deduced, spitting in the face of America. And why? Because, as one shrewd observer commented just this week, the Jews tell us to. All of which is to say, while it is frequently enlightening to read the incoming here at OTM, it is also sometimes frustrating, maddening, and extremely discouraging. In our case, the frustration mainly stems from listeners who haven't seemed to actually listen before fulminating and hitting send. Other news organizations are awash in mean, hateful, and occasionally libelous rhetoric that makes us wonder how the free exchange of those particular ideas contributes to the alleged democratized online ideal. Nor are we alone in these ruminations. Recently, there's been a bit of a backlash against the angry commenter, especially the anonymous angry commenter. Newspapers around the country have had to disband comment sections because of racist content, ad hominem attacks, and vulgarity. The mayor of Hartford, Connecticut, Eddie Perez, actually staged a protest outside of the offices of the Hartford Courant in response to what he called hate speech on the paper's site. Even a reporter for Gawker, the snarky online gossip site that itself trades in mean jabs at anybody with a semblance of name recognition, urged newspapers to stop hosting the fray. Which, of course, if you believe in digital democracy and in the transfer of power from the few to the many, is absolute heresy. But, as the architects of the Iraq War can tell you, democracy is a swell idea, but not that easily achieved on the ground. Here's our friend Ira Glass of Public Radio's This American Life. Ira himself was impaled on the horns of a dilemma when comment traffic on his website got uglier and uglier.
And this culminated in this story that the woman named Deborah Gwartney did, which was this incredibly bare piece of journalism where she tried to document why her teenage daughters ran away from home, ran away from her, okay? And, you know, they're doing drugs, they're on the road. I mean, it's just like it's a very, very serious story. And it's an honest story. It's an actual honest story where somebody tries to say, here's how it happened. And so we had this story. We thought it was really just an amazing piece of work and a very brave piece of work on their part to make themselves so exposed. And at the time, we had this bulletin board on our website where people would comment on the shows, and people were just so vicious about her as a mom and about the girls, and they called the girls names. They called them sluts. And we had to go on the website. Like, I went on the website, and I said, like, please, like, these are teenage girls who are reading what you're saying about them right here. They come onto the site, and they see what you're saying, so please, like, act like they're in the room, and you're saying something to them in this room. Know that you are talking directly to them and use the tone of voice you would if you knew that they were hearing you. And truthfully, I and the whole staff, we just thought, like, look, that's the last straw, and we took down the bulletin board because we felt like it was an act of bad faith with our interviewees. We don't need to create a forum for the audience to express their mean-hearted opinions about people who open themselves up to us and to them. There's just no reason for that. We don't have to endorse that by giving it a space.
At that point in the conversation, I asked Ira a leading question, something along the lines of how uncivilized the discourse is online, and I more or less invited him to sneer at some portion of his audience. He didn't take the bait.
I mean, honestly, I hear you say that, and I just think that that's the way the royalty feels when they're not the only ones who get a voice. Do you know what I mean? Like, up until now, you're old enough, and I'm old enough, that you were very comfortable with the one-way communication. And I feel like I hear you say this, and I feel like you are anti-democratic. You are a royalist. You are upset with democracy itself. I don't find it very comforting that there's like a world of people who don't agree with my feelings about my own show, but that's okay with me. Like, I don't have to feel good about that. I feel like, you know, you make something and you put it out in the world and you want people to have feelings about it. And the feelings can include they hate you. And that seems okay. And the fact that they get to say it and it gets to stick to my name, I feel like even that seems okay.
That's This American Life host Ira Glass on his ambivalence about reader comments.